John McEwen is a founding member of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, a multi-instrumentalist, solo artist, a Grammy-winning producer, radio host, storyteller, and published author. His latest record is titled Made in Brooklyn. He's set to play in concert at the Pinedale Auditorium Thursday, February 7th, and the Cheyenne Civic Center Friday, February 8th. Very happy to connect with John McEwen. John, how are you?
I'm really good, Grady. It's been a great life.
Yeah. We spoke last summer ahead of your performance at the Bighorn Mountain Festival in Buffalo, and sure glad to have the opportunity to chat again. Tell us about the shows you have planned. It includes a multimedia presentation?
Yeah, something I couldn't quite do at Bighorn is I have a lot of footage from over the years, from 1966 through onward, both film and 8mm and movie and video shows and stuff that runs behind us while we're performing, telling the story of where the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band came from and where I came from and where the music came from as we play it on stage. With sometimes the every now and then the screen will talk and then it goes back to us. But it's a wonderful thing.
You have quite a collection of songs and artists on your latest record, Made in Brooklyn, including your old friend Steve Martin. What brought you to Brooklyn for the recording?
The record company likes to record with one microphone, this great label called Chesky Records. They have a system that they record, and everybody gathers around the $150,000 microphone. And if you're too loud, you move back. If you're not loud enough, you move in closer from like your position like around a clock in a circle. And if you can't hear the other guy playing, then you're playing too loud. So you quiet down and you listen. You do something that's not often done in the studio. You listen to each other in the room.
That's a good thing.
The most exciting recording I've done in except for a few very special things, making an album this way was really exciting because you had one take on the song and you did it, and if you got it right, you were done. If you didn't, you did another take. But we didn't have any more than two takes on anything. Most of them were first because we rehearsed.
Had you done that type of recording around one mic much prior to that?
I've done it with certain types of projects, but I've also done something in my career that I've tried to keep in there is when you go to record, get it right the first time and plan on that. And if you can't get it the second time, then you don't know it good enough. You know, the airline pilot doesn't come on and say, we'll be heading to Pittsburgh at about, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You don't hear an airline pilot say, we're going to be taking off in about 5 minutes. Oh, no, here we go.
Oh, that's great.
You know, so if you're going to be a professional, be in the studio and be ready and put this song down. There's an old saying that people used to say in the old days, how long does it take to record a hit record? Well, it should take about 3 or 4 minutes.
That's right. Warren Zevon was a great song writer, and you include two of his songs on the record, Excitable Boy and One We'd Like to Play. Tell us about My Dirty Life and Times.
Well, Matt Cartsonis, that works in this show with me, he and I have been musical buddies for 30 years now, practically. He worked with Warren Zevon for 6 years as his sideband kind of guy. And Warren wanted to write a song that was kind of folky and yet delivered a typical Warren Zevon message. And he wrote it for Matt so they could have something to do together. And we'll be doing that song in Cheyenne.
That's cool.
The Cheyenne Theater is absolutely beautiful, by the way.
Sometimes I feel like my shadow's casting me. Some days the sun don't shine. Sometimes I wonder what tomorrow's gonna bring when I think about my dirty life and time. One day I came to a fork in the road and I just couldn't go where I was told. Now they'll hunt me down and hang for my crime if I tell them about my dirty life and time. Well, I had someone till she went out for a stroll. Should have run after her. It's hard to find a girl with a heart out of gold when you're living in a four-letter world. Oh, but if she won't love me, then a sister will. She's from say one thing and mean anothersville. And she can't seem to make up her mind when I tell her about my dirty life and time. Yee-haw!
I want to talk, ask you about another song. It's a gospel-like, inspirational tune, I Rose Up. Martha Redbone, and she's got help with other singers on it as well.
Yeah, John Callen, I enlisted to sing. He's from the group Newgrass Revival. But in the last 5 years, he's been out playing with the Doobie Brothers and singing, playing bass and singing backgrounds. He's been my favorite singer since 1972, and I finally corralled him to record with me. And Martha's a wonderful artist. It's in Brooklyn, actually. This was an easy drive for her to get to the church we were recording in, the church with a magic echo. We don't use electronic echo. And Martha and I had written music for a song where the lyrics come from 1815.
Wow.
From a guy from William Blake, the British poet, who wrote poems like Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright, and things that you might see in school, you know. And we took his words and tried to set them to bluegrass music. And that's one of my favorite recordings. It just moves along. And when we recorded that, you could feel the excitement in the room. The 15 people on that one.
I rose up at the dawn of day. Get thee away, get thee away. Praise thou for riches, away, away. This is the throne of Mammon Gray. Said I, this sure is very odd. I took it to be the throne of God. For everything besides I had, it is only for riches that I can pray. I have mental joy and mental health and mental friends and mental wealth. I'm a wife by love and that loves me. I'm all but riches bodily.
I am in God's presence night and day.
Get thee away.
He never turns his face away.
Get thee away.
His earth sins by my side doth stand.
Get thee away.
He holds my money bag in his hand. For my worldly things God makes him pay.
Get thee away.
He paid more if to him I would pray.
Get thee away.
So you may do the worst you can do.
Get thee away.
Be assured, Mr. Devil, I will not pray to you.
Talking with musician and producer, longtime member of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, John McEwen. You were heavily under the influence of banjo great Earl Scruggs, who was among the many legendary musicians on the first Will the Circle Be Unbroken record. If you could name just one or two, and I know that's probably not very easy, one or two others that had a big impact on your music, who would they be?
It's easy. Doug Dillard, from the group The Dillards. When I saw him walk on stage and kick off Hickory Hollow, I quit playing my guitar and got me a banjo. And then the other one would be a man named Eddie Adcock, who had a group called The Country Gentlemen. And then there's Bill Keith. So it's a variety of them. Each one had a different style, and I stole from every one of them.
That's great. That's great. And, of course, if you could pick maybe a couple of songs that really were among your favorites from that record. There's so many to choose from, I know. But
on the Circle album?
Yes.
Well, one of the songs we do live is Keep on the Sunny Side, Maybelle Carter's song about, you know, life is tough. But if you keep on the sunny side, it's not always as tough. And the words of that song have helped me immensely throughout my life. I love to bring it to people. And the story about how it came about.
There's a dark and a troubled side of life. There's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. If we'll keep on the sunny side of
You've written a book called The Life I've Picked. I expect much of it covers that historic recording session of Will the Circle Be Unbroken. A lot of good stories, including meeting the Scruggs family for the first time. I enjoyed the story about you getting a call from Henry Mancini asking rather forcefully about the whereabouts of his daughter.
Yeah. Where is my daughter?
She was actually traveling with the band.
I was out. We just finished playing Aspen, and we're out on the road and going to Walla Walla, Washington. Flew into Spokane, drove down to Walla Walla, and got a hotel and went to the room. And I wasn't sure where we were staying because I didn't book the rooms until the day before, and I, you know, never been there. But I walk in this room, and as I walk in, the phone rings, and it's, "Hi, this is Henry Mancini. Where's my daughter?"
Oh, boy.
And his daughter, I said, "Well, Mr. Mancini, she's been hanging out this past week in Aspen and blah, 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 blah. And she decided to ride an equipment truck with our roadie, and they should be here in the next hour." Well, when she gets there, you put her on the phone, you know?
Oh, boy.
My knees are hitting each other, because, you know, clacking away. And it's like, "But yes, sir, is there a problem?" He goes, "Well, how about starting off with taking a 17-year-old across state lines?"
Uh-oh, yeah.
She said she was 21. And when she got there, that was so funny. "Monica, your dad called, and he really wants you to call him. He's a little upset." "Oh, Danny, I can take care of him. He's no problem at all. Here, I'll call him, blah, 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 blah." You know, it's no cell phones. He found the hotel and the room I was in within 5 minutes of me being there. Anyway, she gets on the phone and she goes, and all I could hear was, "Oh, hi, Daddy, this is my..." "Oh, yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy."
Oh.
"Yeah. Yes, Daddy. Okay, bye-bye. And she hangs up and she looks around the room. Can someone take me to the airport?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
She was gone.
That's great.
I thought our career was over, you know, but we never did play Walla Walla again.
One of the players, from what I've heard, was quite a colorful character, and that was Jimmy Martin. Do you have any Jimmy Martin stories that are suitable for radio?
Well, Jimmy Martin, you must know about him.
Yeah.
He definitely put the color in bluegrass.
Yes.
I remember him calling himself, "Hi, I'm Jimmy Martin, the king of bluegrass." That's how he'd introduce himself. I got him inducted into the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. When I did the introduction to him, I was calling him to find out if I was going to say the right thing. He goes, "Well, you just get it right, John. Jimmy Martin always tells it like it is. Like this new song I just finished. It's called, it's about my new ex-wife. It's called I Shouldn't Have Said I Do, But I Did."
Oh, man. What a
so
character.
He was always fun. But yeah. He was right. He was the king of blues. He was the best singer.
Yeah.
And we were so privileged to have him on the album. In fact, one of the songs we do many songs from the Circle album. One of them is a Grand Ole Opry song that leads off that Circle the Unbroken album. And Jimmy said, "Now, I don't know about that Grand Ole Opry song. A lot of them people in it are dead." And I said, "Yes, Jimmy, that's the reason we want to do it, to honor them." Okay. And he killed it.
Let's go.
Okay.
Pick your banjo solid, John. You picked one for 15 years, ain't you?
This really hit.
Earl never did do that.
Come and listen to my story, if you will, I'm gonna tell about a gang of fellers from down at Nashville. First I'll start with old Red Foley doing the Chattanooga Shoe. We can't forget Hank Williams with them good old Hussic Blues. It's time for Roy Acuff to go to Memphis on his train with Minnie Pearl and Rod Brassfield and Lazy Jim Day. Turn on all your radios, I know that you will wait. Hear little Jimmy Dickens sing, take an old coal tater and wait. There'll be guitars and fiddles, Earl Scruggs and his banjo too. Bill Monroe singing out them old Kentucky blues. Ernest Tubbs number, two wrongs won't make a right, at the Grand Ole Opry every Saturday night.
What's really fun is people don't know what to expect many times, and they come and they hear some of their favorite dirt band music and the best of the Circle album music and a lot of great players. I bring my guitar, banjo, mandolin, and fiddle, and John Cable plays mandolin and guitar, and Matt plays bandola and guitar, and they all sing great.
That's
Les
great.
Thompson. Oh, by the way, Les Thompson is an original Nitty Gritty Dirt Band member. He's the guy that called me in 1966 and says, "Hey, the guys at the music store are getting together. You want to play with us at a club?" And that was the beginning of Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Wow. The Dirt Band was among the originators that fused folk, rock, country, and bluegrass. It was quite a turnaround from the British invasion bands and the psychedelic sound of San Francisco. At the time, country music was not considered cool. From your perspective, was it just simply a type of music you liked and wanted to play and present it to a younger audience?
I was more drawn to acoustic, bluegrass, traditional Appalachian songs.
Yeah.
songs about floods, dead people,
sure.
And gunfights.
Oh, yeah. There was plenty of that.
And the country, I was into country. I was a Waylon Jennings fan and Johnny Cash and all of those. I never thought I'd meet any of those people. I ended up recording with Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
In fact, coming out this year, his son, John Carter, called me last year and said, "Hey, my dad's got some poems that he didn't quite finish. I need some work. Would you want to work on them and turn them into songs? Because I think they could have been songs." And well, I worked on them for a couple of weeks. And I said, "Okay, how's this?" He, "Oh, come on. Okay, come record." So now, this year, coming out is a Johnny Cash song that I'm a co-writer on.
Wow. Look forward to that. You know when that's going to be released?
No, I don't. Okay. In fact, I just asked him last week, and he said it's on Sony and sometime in this first quarter. but I can't even remember the name that they're calling the album. But it's a bunch of neat stuff.
Sure.
And one of those things about this life I picked, I had no idea it would turn out so well. I didn't know what it was going to do, you know. But just, I like getting in front of people.
Fantastic.
And somebody's got to do it. You can't have everybody on stage.
That's right. You'll be on stage at the Pinedale Auditorium Thursday night and Cheyenne Civic Center Friday with all the musicians, most of the musicians from Made in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, and a couple of previous Nitty Gritty Dirt Band members and Matt Cartsonis. And it's just, you know, it's really interesting. It's like the dream of the Orange County, California teenagers to get out and get around the country and make people laugh and listen to music. You know, I get the comments, you know, usually only about half the people go to any concert because they want to. And they take another person with them. You know, it's like, honey, will you go to the Grateful Dead reunion show with me? And I'll take you to see Barry Manilow, you know. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I try to get to the second half because I know the ones that want to go, well, I'll get away with doing a lot more with them and I'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
But if I can reach that second half, that's the challenge. Just going through playing my favorite music, which a lot, of course, is Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and bluegrass, and I can't wait to turn Matt loose on a song he does that's really funny, that kills people. So, there, you know, there's new material, and they go over like hits.
That's great.
So and when we do Dance Little Gene, it's a, you know, the Dirt Band song.
Right.
It's really fun. And I like people to say the next day to their friends, oh, you should have been there.
That's right.
You know?
Thank you so much, Mr. John McEwen. Take care. Enjoy your time in Wyoming. And as Mother Maybelle sang, keep on the sunny side.
Good for you. Well, like I said to my mom, thanks for having me.
I played a wedding for the money, and I wished I could have told the bride and groom just what I think of marriage and what's in store after their honeymoon. And I was grumbling to the dancers about how men and women ought to live apart, how a promise never made cannot be broken and can never break a heart. Then suddenly from out of nowhere, a little girl came dancing across the floor, and all her crinolines were billowing beneath the skirt of calico that she wore. Oh, what a joy fell on the honored guests as each one of them was drawn into her dream. And they laughed and stamped and clapped their hands and hollered at her, dance little Jean. And they said, dance little Jean, this day is for you. Two people you love stood up. Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad. Well, my cynical heart just melted, 'cause I figured what this get together meant. How it ended years of tears and sad confusion that the little girl had spent. And they told the band to pack it up about the time the couple cut the cake. But we played as long as they stayed for love and laughs and little Jeannie's sake. And we played dance little Jean. For you, two people you love stood up to say I do. Dance little Jean, a prayer that you had was answered today. Your mama's marrying your dad.
It was answered today. Your mama's marrying your